From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. That's right, it is Wednesday, February 10th, 2016, and we have a hot show in store for you today. Later on in the hour, we will dive into our hot topic debate for today, which centers on specialization in the world of high school sports. Is playing just one sport as a high school athlete healthy? Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll also dive into last night's Michigan State and Purdue men's basketball game that was filled with a ton of drama, a little bit of controversy, and a lot of just flair, if you will, okay? And you get to hear from Tom Izzo his thoughts on what took place last night as Michigan State loses another game in the Big Ten Conference. Also, we will give you a preview of the Michigan at Minnesota men's basketball game as the Wolverines and Golden Gophers get it on tonight. And we will chat about Cam Newton and Johnny Manziel. That should be fun, right? Phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So much to get to, so little time. So let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this February 10th. All right, folks, last night the number 8 ranked Michigan State men's basketball team fell on the road to the number 18 ranked Purdue Boilermakers in their only meeting of the year. Michigan State, down by as much as 18 in the first half, I should say, fought back and even took the lead in the second, but the Spartans weren't able to hold off a 4-point lead in the last minute and 46 seconds of regulation, and Denzel Valentine missed a fadeaway three, sending the game into OT. With 4.6 seconds left in overtime, Michigan State's Denzel Valentine was called for a foul on Purdue's Raphael Davis, who hit the first free throw, missed the second. A.J. Hammonds gets the rebound, and that's how things would end. The win broke Purdue's 7-game losing streak against the Spartans dating back to 2011. We'll have more on that one in just a second. In a rematch from last month that saw Eastern Michigan's Eagles men's basketball team best the Central Michigan Chippewas 99-80. The Eagles again emerged victorious. The Eagles won last night 71-56 in Yipsey and never trailed their opponent. The Eagles opened the game on a 13-2 run, and the Chips responded with their own 12-2 run, pulling the game within 1 point. The Eagles then went on another 20-4 run, pushing their lead to 17, and went into halftime with a 15-point lead. Looking at some of the scores in this game, James Thompson, the fourth of the Eagles, finished with 19 points and a career-high 15 boards. Teammate Brandon Nizone added 16 and 11. And also Chris Fowler, brother of former Spartan wide receiver Benny Fowler, he led CMU with 16 points. The Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team is headed to Williams Arena tonight to take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers. The Wolverines are coming off a tough week that saw them lose handily against the Indiana Hoosiers and then the Michigan State Spartans on Saturday afternoon. The Golden Gophers haven't won since December 16th, 2015, and are currently on a 12-game losing streak. The game tips off tonight at 9 p.m. You can watch it on the Big Ten Network. Yesterday, the list for the Naismith Boys Basketball High School Player of the Year honorees were announced. Two Michigan natives, Miles Bridges and Josh Jackson, were named as semifinalists for the award. Bridges from Flint plays for Huntington Prep, West Virginia, and Jackson from Southfield plays for Napa Prolific Prep out in California. The other semifinalists include Deron Fox of Kentucky, Edris Bam Abeyo, gotta love that name, from Kentucky as well, Frank Jackson, he's committed to Duke, Jason Tatum, committed to Duke as well, Lonzo Ball, committed to UCLA, Malik Monk, Kentucky, Markel Floats of Washington, and TJ Leaf of UCLA. Finalists will be named Tuesday, February 23rd, and the winner will be announced on Thursday, March 10th. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, has asked the NCAA to prohibit Jim Harbaugh from bringing his football team to Florida for practice over spring break. As of now, Michigan plans on holding four practices during the school spring break at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. Currently, there is no NCAA rule in place that prohibits where a team can hold practice. The Detroit Pistons will raise another jersey to the rafters tonight.
Stop and go move down the lane. Dished it in front. Flipped up. No. He threw up the shot. Campbell right corner. Bounce deep inside. Reverse Glasser. Chauncey scores it. Big off shot. The square.
Here's Phillips on a drive. Got it. Goes to the line.
The 2004 NBA Finals MVP, number one, Chauncey Billups.
That's right, you know him, Mr. Big Shot. Chauncey Billups' number one uniform will be raised to the rafters at the Palace of Auburn Hills. The ceremony will take place at halftime with the Pistons' home matchup tonight against the Denver Nuggets, a former team of Mr. Big Shot. Now, he was a mainstay for the D from 2002 to 2008, helping them to a five straight Eastern Conference Finals appearances, as well as the 2004 and 5 NBA Finals. The Detroit Red Wings look to win their third straight game tonight when they welcome the Ottawa Senators to town. The Wings have won the first two of their current five-game homestand. This will be the fourth meeting of the season between the two, with the Wings taking two of the three of the first three matchups, I should say. Detroit will continue to look for strong goaltending from Peter Mrazek, who currently leads the league in goals against and saves percentage. And the University of Mississippi football program was cited by the NCAA in 13 of 28 violations reported against the school. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start the show.
Davis, a season high 24 points for you, a career high six made three-pointers. Five of those came in the first half. Why were you so aggressive tonight offensively in this contest, especially early?
My teammates been telling me just to be aggressive. I mean, just get back to my normal self, be aggressive, shoot the ball when I'm open, get to the basket, things like that. And I had never beat Michigan State before, so I had a little chip on my shoulder coming out here, but that's a great team. My teammates put me in great position, and I made some shots.
What about the final free throw of overtime to seal the deal for your team as a senior that had never beaten Michigan State? That had to be special.
Yeah, I mean, it felt great. I mean, Coach Painter drew up a great play. AJ made a good pass. I was able to get fouled, get the free throw line. We shoot a lot of free throws every day, so I'm not going down for it.
Thank you, Stevie. Welcome to today's current sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin. That is one of my favorite grooves from back in the day. Stevie Wonder, I Was Made to Love Her. And mixed in with that montage was, of course, quotes from the man of the night out at in Purdue. How big was Rayfield Davis? 24 buckets, 7 of 10 in the first half. So impressive, so impressive. No matter how the cookie crumbled when the dust settled on last night's game between Michigan State and Purdue, you have to give a ton of credit to how the Boilermakers played last night. They were tough. They were physical. They didn't back down from the number 8 team in the nation. And a lot of that can be put in perspective when just looking at what Davis was able to do. This is, folks, the reigning Big Ten player, Big Ten defensive player of the year. He is such a great defender. And I really didn't realize just how good this Purdue team is until I really sat back last night and dissected and really looked at that game from start to finish. This team is solid, folks. Purdue is very good. Very good. It starts with their bigs, of course, and we mentioned this on yesterday's show. That front court of Swanigan, you have Isaac Haas also who can come in and do some dirty work, and A.J. Hammonds. I mean, those three are so tough inside. I mean, it was remarkable watching Michigan State, a team that is so efficient offensively, especially when it comes to moving the ball and getting respective teammates involved. They lead the nation right now when it comes to assists. But Purdue, this is the thing about Purdue. You have a combination of size mixed in with just toughness defensively. And Michigan State just had problems finding any room to get a shot off. It got to the point, and this is what makes Denzel Valentine such a good player, and this is why I think that he is going to be a solid NBA guy when he does make that move. And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw this, but last night there were about 18 NBA scouts in the house to witness that Purdue versus Michigan State matchup. So Denzel Valentine, I think he just boosted his stock if you ask me. But Denzel Valentine, this is what makes him such a crafty player, because with that being said, Purdue's defense stifling Michigan State. I mean, really giving Michigan State no room to get off a shot, switching on screens, just really in the face of every Spartan. Denzel Valentine started to realize that, you know what? The only way we are going to get buckets is if we penetrate and draw those big guys away from the paint a little bit and have some cutters come up in the paint for me to dump the ball off to. And that's exactly what happened. Michigan State did an excellent job as that game went on, because it was an 18-point deficit at one point. But the guard started to penetrate. They started to draw on big men like Hammonds and Swanigan. And once that draw came, they would leave their man, and Denzel or Bryn would just dump it off to a Costello or Deontay Davis for buckets. But I was talking to Brad Walker of WKAR literally about an hour before we hit the air today. And Brad brought up a great point. If you want a blueprint of how you confuse and stifle this very good Michigan State men's basketball team, you had a formula. If you just look at last night's game, and I say that because when you look at the numbers, when you look at just the hardcore numbers, offensive numbers from guys like Matt Costello, who has been fantastic all year. Matt Costello, 5 of 12, 11 points. Denzel Valentine did what Denzel Valentine has done all year. 27 points for him, 10 assists. He was 2 rebounds short of yet another triple-double. Also, how about the freshman in this game, Matt McQuaid? 10 points, 2 rebounds for him, 3 assists. Matt McQuaid, I love Matt McQuaid. He's such a good player. It's going to be great to see how his MSU men's basketball career blossoms as time goes on. Deontay Davis, he threw up 8 points. But with that being said, some solid production when looking at certain guys here. Even Kenny Goins. How about Kenny Goins coming off the bench? 9 points, 9 rebounds for him. You know, 1 point and 1 rebound short of a double-double for him. But you know what? You can let all those guys score. You can let Denzel do his thing and let the role players fill in here and there. But you cannot let Bryn Forbes get hot. Bryn Forbes, a guy who is coming off a 29-point performance against Michigan over the weekend at Chrysler Center, a guy who has been hot since going through that rough patch of the year where he couldn't hit anything. If you stop Bryn Forbes, you got a shot at stymieing Tom Izzo's team. And that's exactly what happened, folks. Rafael Davis was fantastic defensively. He got right into the jerseys of Valentine and Forbes, but more so Forbes here. Forbes just 1 of 7. 1 of 7, folks, from the three-point line. That is that's Bryn Forbes, really? And this is a guy, again, a 28-point performance. He's coming off a game in which he was 8 of 10 from the 3-point line out in Ann Arbor. But he was 1 of 7 for just 7 points in that game. He really couldn't get in the groove. And this is the point I want to make about Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes is a guy who's an excellent shooter. And I think that when Bryn Forbes' career at Michigan State is said and done, when this year goes by and you look back at Bryn Forbes' career, I think he will be known as the best shooter ever to don a green and white jersey for this program. He's that good. He's that good of a shooter. But this is the thing I've always said about Forbes. If Forbes is not hitting early and he's not involved from the very jump of the game, he has a tendency to disappear. And it's not like Bryn Forbes is not a guy who can, if he's struggling at the very beginning of the game, he can't automatically just get hot out of nowhere in the second half. No, that's just not who Bryn Forbes is. Usually, the way Bryn Forbes starts the game is the way he's going to play throughout its entirety. Simple as that. And Davis recognized that, and he was absolutely fantastic. 24 points for Rafael Davis, 19 in the first half alone. But the numbers, when you compare his first half numbers to his second half numbers, it's a really glaring contrast here, because in the first half, Davis went 7 of 10, absolutely lights out. But then in the second half, you saw that Michigan State defense ramp up a bit, slow him down, and that allowed that Michigan State comeback, to be honest. Because in the second half, Davis only went 1 of 12 in the second half, including overtime, 1 of 12 for the rest of the game. Again, 24 points, 19 of those points coming in the first half of play, folks. So they were able to, so Michigan State was able to slow down Davis and able to find creases in that front court and find certain holes that came from penetration directly to the lane that led to buckets in the paint. And, you know, looking at Purdue, and you look at their numbers shooting-wise, I mean, they shot 50% from the three-point line. They were 8 of 16 last night, folks. Purdue usually doesn't shoot like that. My storyline preview in this game yesterday was how bad of a shooting team the Purdue Boilermakers are. I mean, the game before that against Maryland, whatever, they were like 3 of 25, folks, from the three-point line. For the year, Purdue is shooting right now 35%. And again, they shoot 50% last night, 8 of 16. So when evaluating that game last night, I mean, it's one of those things where you just kind of look at it and say, okay, was that a fluke? You know, you look at it and say, okay, Purdue hasn't been doing this all season. Where did this come from? I mean, Davis could not miss in the first half. It was amazing where he was shooting from and the consistency in which he shot that three-point ball with. I mean, it was unbelievable. Davis isn't going to shoot like that every single game, folks. It was just one of those games for Mr. Rafael Davis. And then you compare that to what he did defensively, slowing down the catalyst, the primary shooter for Michigan State and Bryn Forbes. I mean, Denzel Valentine had to put that team on his back in the closing moments, without a doubt. And there are a few plays you can bring up here. You know, I've been hearing a lot of criticism, a lot of whining from Michigan State fans out there concerning how that game ended. And, you know, when looking at this game, I mean, Michigan State loses, you know, by 1 point yet again here. This is their third 1-point loss for Michigan State this year. But the way that game ended, okay, let's just talk about it, because that's the big elephant in the room that everyone wants to address right now. Michigan State, they, you know, it's, what is it, a tie game at this point. And, you know, 4.6 seconds left in overtime. And the referees blow the whistle on Denzel Valentine, who bumped Rafael Davis coming off a A.J. Hammond screen. Now, if you really look at the play, because when I saw it, I said, okay, that was the right call. I thought, when looking at it in real time, I said to myself, okay, that was a good call by the referees, because it looked as though Hammonds had his feet set, and it was, you know, Denzel Valentine, you know, there was really not a lot of room for him to roll under the screen, but it's a bang-bang play. He fouls Davis. Davis goes to the line, and I'll get to what happened after that in just a sec. But concerning the foul that was called on Denzel Valentine, looking back at it, I think it should have been called the other way. I really do. I thought that A.J. Hammonds, when he handed the ball off to Rafael Davis, he seemed to last second, in the last second of that handoff, kind of move right into Denzel Valentine, I thought it could have been called a moving screen. But it happened so quick, I thought that the referees kind of jumped the gun. And again, in real time, I thought that they got the call right. But looking back at it, it certainly could have went the other way. Matt Painter, he made really the same comment that I had when looking at it. He felt as well, the opposite, I should say, the opposite of my opinion of it, because he thought that initially, when you evaluate that screen, he thought that, okay, I don't know about that. But looking back at it, when he saw the replay, he said, okay, the referees got it right. I think the exact opposite. I thought the referees got it wrong, but they got it right initially when I saw it. Could have gone either way here. We're really grasping at straws when we talk about one play to end any game, let alone last night's, okay? But, okay, so Rafael Davis goes to the line, makes the first free throw, misses the second. A.J. Hammons snags the rebound, and I looked at this, but I had to look at this play again, because if you look at when A.J. Hammons grabs the rebound, folks, he takes a few steps there. He walks on that play before Michigan State decides not even to follow him, which that's kind of behind me. I mean, the way that game ended, it kind of went out with a whiff because, you know, there were still maybe like 1 or 2 seconds left on the clock and you didn't see Bryn Forbes, anyone around Hammons reach out to foul him. But Hammons takes a few steps, and I do believe that he travels on that play. It isn't called, the game ends, and you chalk up yet another loss for Michigan State in the Big Ten. Michigan State now sits at 7-5 in the Big Ten, and you can pretty much kiss a regular season Big Ten championship title. If you didn't already, now goodbye. That's out the window now. So a bang-bang moment at the end of overtime. But at the end of the day, Michigan State certainly had numerous opportunities to win that game. They had a 4-point lead with a minute and 46 left to play, and they gave it up. Simple as that. And mad props goes to Denzel Valentine. Again, he put this team on his back when his counterpart, Bryn Forbes, was not hitting. Denzel Valentine just said, give me the basketball. I'm going to do something with it. There was a miraculous drive in which he tied the game late in that matchup. It was just unbelievable. He drove on like 3 guys, goes off the glass and in. I mean, Denzel Valentine has been spectacular this season, and he was that certainly last night. But again, he needed a little bit of help from Bryn Forbes. He certainly did. Michigan State missed his hot shooting, and, you know, it now led to a Michigan State loss. Folks, what do you think about what do you think about last night's game and Michigan State as they move forward down the stretch of the year here? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing, man?
Doing well, yeah. Disappointing game yesterday for the Spartans. But first off, Purdue's a good team. And I could see Michigan State before the game, and you and I both mentioned this, they are dangerous inside. But the problem I have with a game like this is you live and die by the three. So when Bryn Forbes is not shooting well, what do you do from there? And Michigan State, for a long time in that game, until Denzel Valentine really rallied his troops and hit those three back-to-back-to-back threes, Michigan State didn't have an answer for Purdue because Purdue would dominate both outside and inside, and Michigan State couldn't work it out either way. So it's just a tough scenario if you rely on the three too much, whereas Purdue more relies on their inside game. But if the shot's working, as it was for them in the first half, keep going to that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you rely on the three and get a little confident because you've been shooting well recently, like Michigan State has and Bryn Forbes has, of course, this game gone 1 of 7 from three for Forbes, that throws you off your game. And then Purdue was able to pound it down low all game long. A.J. Hammons, boy, that guy's a pro already. 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 8 block shots, close to a triple-double. But then it was the performance of Rafael Davis, like you mentioned, in the first half, starting off hitting his first 6 threes, I believe. So it's just those types of things where if you can get those sparks and those unexpected contributions, it's hard to lose a game. And Purdue almost did, but they were able to hold on to it at the end.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, something also to mention is that, you know, Tom Izzo, he always sticks to his guns when having this conversation. In the waning moments of a game, if it's tied or Michigan State is down by one, Tom Izzo, he historically, he likes to let his team just kind of play it out and let his team, I should say, just kind of get a shot on their own. Let them orchestrate the offense. They know what to do in those moments. They're prepared. I don't need to take a timeout here. And he never regrets that. He never regrets taking a timeout as opposed to just letting his team play it out and just going from there. But last night was a rarity. Tom Izzo did regret not calling a timeout in regulation, tie game, Denzel Valentine with the basketball, and he settles for just a bad fadeaway jump shot that really didn't even have a chance of going in, and the game goes to overtime. Izzo did regret not calling the timeout, setting up something really quick, and possibly getting a set play out of it. So and you rarely hear that from Tom Izzo. And I really thought he should have called a timeout there. I mean, especially in that atmosphere, Mackey Arena was off the chain last night. I really thought that if Tom Izzo set up something, because we all know the genius of Tom Izzo, he's so great at coming out of timeouts with something solidified and getting off a solid shot. I agree with Tom. I think he should have called a TO there and maybe gotten something more concrete than a Denzel Valentine just please go in fadeaway jumper. Here's more comments from Tom after the game. Here he is addressing his overall team.
But it was a heck of a basketball game. We showed some character that we bounced back. Shouldn't have been down that much in the first place. But to compete like that when two of our key players, Forbes and Harris, really struggled to shoot the ball, tells us something about us, too.
Yeah, how about that music in the background? I'm assuming it's from like MichiganState.com, Spartans.com, part of their docu-series that they do throughout the entire year. But, yeah, it was great effort from Michigan State. They certainly did not back down when their backs were against the wall. Again, to be down 18 points, and you mentioned, Isaac, the back-to-back threes that Denzel Valentine hit, a six-point trip for Michigan State. Denzel Valentine hits the three, a foul is called, that gives Michigan State the ball back, and then Denzel Valentine nails another one. I mean, such a big momentum changer there. But Matt Painter and his team did not back down. It was certainly a game of runs, and you have to give a lot of credit to Purdue. I mean, Purdue, I certainly underestimated this team yesterday when we previewed this game. This team is solid. But then again, Purdue is not going to play like this every single game. You won't see Rafael Davis have the game like he did last night from here on out. I mean, that was probably arguably the best game of his career, without a doubt. I mean, he couldn't miss anything. But, man, is he fun to watch, isn't he? Just from a defensive standpoint. From a defensive standpoint, I mean, he doesn't bite on any head fakes. He's not a guy who's going to, you know, let you blow right by him. He's very quick with his feet. He's just pesky. He gets right into you, and it just annoys you. I saw Denzel Valentine out there just completely annoyed by the defense of Davis. And, you know, even Bryn Forbes, I mean, when Bryn Forbes went up for a three-point shot, there was a Davis hand right in his face. He struggled to get any space to shoot that basketball. He's fun to watch. That team is fun to watch. And, you know, another big storyline was Caleb Swanigan. Of course, Caleb Swanigan, he's an AAU teammate of Deontay Davis. He had committed previously to come to Michigan State and decided to change his mind and go to Purdue. Tom Izzo mentioned how there's no hard feelings approaching this game. This is the only time that the Spartans and the Boilermakers will meet this year. But Tom Izzo wanted it to be known that there's no bad feelings here. He actually called Matt Painter after Swanigan had committed to Purdue to let him know that there's no harsh feelings here. But Swanigan, you know, he almost blew it. I don't know if you – did you see down the stretch of that game? He almost blew it for Purdue down the stretch of that game. He took two arid three-pointers out of nowhere, just chucked it up. And I'm sitting there saying, okay, this is Michigan State's window of opportunity here to really, you know, extend this game. And, you know, we saw what happened offensively for Michigan State. They just couldn't get it going. But – I mean, Swanigan, I didn't even know he had range like that. When he took those threes, I'm like, well, is that even his game? But apparently so, because he took two of them. He was 0 for 2. But overall, he was 4 of 10, 8 points. He really wasn't the catalyst for Purdue offensively. Again, you mentioned Hammonds. He was fantastic. 8 blocks for him, 13 rebounds. Isaac Haas, he comes off the bench and scores 6 points as well. Not really a big factor offensively as well for him. I'm just worried about this team, though, moving forward as far as for the Spartans, Isaac, because if Bryn Forbes isn't nailing that jump shot, it's like, okay, you know, when they run into a greedy defensive team like Purdue, can they win? That's the big question mark for me.
Well, and you've got questions also. Of course, Denzel Valentine can get into the lane, create his own shot, create a shot for others. But when you go up a team with a formidable interior defensive line, what do you do then? Because that's what Purdue is. And Michigan State couldn't do anything with their bigs offensively. Deontay Davis fouled out. He had 8 points. I mean, that's not bad showing, but Schilling didn't do anything points-wise. Michigan State's best big man, if you ask me, is Kenny Goins last night.
He or had Matt Costello.
9 points, 9 rebounds. Matt
Costello was good as well in spurts as well.
But good in spurts. I mean, Michigan State just wasn't able to keep going, though, when they can't hit the shots. That's what I mean, and that's what everybody means when you live and die by the three. So it's something risky for this Barnes. More than anything, though, I think it's just about kind of finding a happy balance for this team because they do have guys that can score inside. You know, Deontay Davis has that little post hook. Matt Costello, of course, can score in a variety of ways. Hit his first three of the season last night. But the Spartans still need to find that balance so that Denzel Valentine at the end of the game does not have to take that Hail Mary of a fadeaway two-pointer to finish it up for the Spartans. They need more options when Bryn Forbes is not hitting.
And you know what also worries me, and Joe Rexroth did a great job of detailing this in his latest article on the Detroit Free Press. You can check it out by going to freep.com. And this is the initial thought that came to mind when I saw Denzel Valentine pretty much willing his team to a comeback, coming back from 18 down last night, is how much will this wear on Denzel, putting the team constantly on his back, constantly having to score, get guys involved. Is he going to break down at some point in this year? That's something I'm worried about because, I mean, we're talking February here. March is right around the corner, March Madness and whatnot. And it just seems as though every game, Denzel Valentine is just shouldering so much of the load. I mean, how much more can the guy do this? You know what I mean? I'm worried about his health. I'm worried about his longevity throughout an entire game. I don't know. I just feel like Denzel right now may be shouldering too much when just carrying this team game in and game out. Let's hit our first break. Before we do, I also want to mention this. Of course, it's Oscar month. The Oscars will take place on February 28th. We are continuing our battle of the movies, if you will. We're counting down a list of 10 movies that will eventually lead to numero uno, the top sports movie of all time, according to all you out there and us here at Current Sports. And this week's battle, well, we really haven't gotten in-depth into this because we've had jam-packed shows on Monday and Tuesday, but the two movies for this week are The Karate Kid versus Hoosiers. The Karate Kid was the number 9 slot, and Hoosiers sits at number 2. So The Karate Kid versus Hoosiers. Isaac, what you got? We'll take your vote right now.
I'll take Hoosiers. I think Karate Kid's a good movie, but I'm taking Hoosiers. It's one of the best of all time.
Just to play devil's advocate, I'm going with Karate Kid. I think Hoosiers is overrated and boring.
I know. You're not winning this one, though.
I'm going to go down fighting, though. I think Hoosiers is just a boring sports movie. That's just me, though. I'll probably ruffle a lot of feathers with that one. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about high school specialization in the world of sports. If you don't know what that is, we'll elaborate on that in just a second. We'll also talk about Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton, and give you a bit of a preview of the Michigan and Minnesota men's basketball game tonight. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, I was up last night, and I got to give a shout-out to the Golden State Warriors, who topped in a thrilling game. Stayed up for the entire – I was glued to my television watching this one last night on TNT, folks. The Golden State Warriors playing host to the Houston Rockets. The Houston Rockets did an unbelievable job of staying pace against the Warriors, made it a very close game. They actually took the lead to start the third quarter. But Golden State, they pull away late in that game, and they get the dub. And they have now, through 51 games, they have now set the record for the best start in NBA history through the course of 51 games. So hats off to Steve Kerr, Luke Walton, who are really the heads when it comes to the coaching realm of that team. Draymond Green, former Michigan State hoop great, who's a part of that squad. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Andre Iguodala, you know, Sean Livingston. All that entire squad is so good, and they are so fun to watch on the basketball court. And you got to give a lot of credit to Houston, though, because, you know, James Harden, you talk about putting teams on your back. I mean, James Harden has been putting the Houston Rockets on his back for what, like, you know, throughout much of the duration since he's been a Rocket. Really impressive what he was able to do last night. I've always knocked on James Harden for being a guy who doesn't play any defense, which he doesn't. He doesn't, let's be honest here. But in that third quarter, James Harden played some defense. He was solid. He was solid, I must say that. And, you know, I look at the personnel around him. I still go on record to say that Dwight Howard is the softest basketball player I have ever seen in my entire life. There is no way that Dwight Howard should be that size with that amount of muscle and to go out there and play that soft on a nightly basis. It just disappoints me because every time I watch Dwight Howard play Isaac, I just sit there and say, that's just a waste of talent. That's just a waste of size out there. But you got him out there. Patrick Beverley, I mean, he was great in stretches of that game. But really, I mean, James Harden is putting this entire team on his back. And, you know, he started off very rocky in the first quarter, but really, you know, got things going as the game went on. Got to give a lot of credit to James Harden. Just his effort last night was really remarkable. But Steph Curry did what Steph Curry does, man. The best shooter of all time. He was magnificent. Absolutely magnificent last night. And I also want to shout out the Golden State Warriors jerseys. I thought, you know, it was the Chinese New Year yesterday.
Yep.
So the entire NBA, I guess they were donning the, you know, Chinese symbols on their jerseys. I really liked the Golden State Warriors jerseys last night, Isaac. Did you check them out?
They were spicy.
They were nice. They were spicy. I like they were spicy. I never heard that one before. They were really spicy last night, dude. I got to ask you, if you had to choose your top sports jersey of all time, what would that be? You ever thought about that?
Well, I'm a diehard NBA fan, so it always goes to me for the garish look. So maybe the 2000 Raptors look with the huge Raptor pasted on the front of the jersey.
You like the Raptor?
Oh, I think that's a classic.
Really? And then,
but in terms of the most elegant, best-looking jerseys, I love Celtics. Mm-hmm. Love the throwback 80s Lakers jerseys.
Right.
I think those are classics.
Simple, real simple.
The Bulls,
yeah.
Classics. But, yeah, I love those Raptors jerseys. The jerseys I have, too, are the Sonics jerseys. I thought those were great with the stripe across the front. Old Blazers jerseys are great.
Does that include, you know, because just in sport, I want to know what your favorite jersey is in sports. Does that include even the NFL and soccer and everything?
Well, I'm not a big NFL jersey fan in general. I think those are tough to wear around just because the numbers are so big. You don't have the team logo necessarily.
But just the look, though, when they're out there playing.
I
have to go with the Raiders. I'm a big Raiders guy.
Raiders?
I think the Raiders jerseys are so classic. And I don't know if you've seen the 30 for 30 with Ice Cube and whatnot, and it kind of details, you know, that look in hip-hop culture and how the Raiders' colors and that emblem really became a staple in not just the NFL, but just in sports in general and just in iconic fashion culture. I just think the Raiders' classic, I mean, silver and black just go so well together. I think that's the best jersey in sports. But if I had to choose my favorite jersey just personally, I would have to go with the pinstripe Bulls back in the 90s. The black with the red pinstripe stripes. Oh, unbelievable. Just classic look there. So
one thing about that movie, though, the 30 for 30. First off, I was not a big fan of that. There was indirect connections that Ice Cube made and was basically a self-promotional video the whole time. But anyway, an NFL jersey, if I had to pick one, maybe the 70s Dolphins jerseys, something like that. They had the old Dolphin emblem, which I thought was great. Old Steelers jerseys are classic. So are the Packers. I love when they bring back those throwbacks. So, I don't know. There's so many you can choose between. There are great jerseys all through sports.
Definitely. Without a doubt. All right. Well, let's keep this train moving along. And let's bring to you a story from one of our production assistants for the semester. His name is Brett Kaz. Actually, Brett was on our show yesterday debuting his new segment. Brett's Bonehead Moves. Brett doing a great job for us. And Brett actually has submitted a story, which you can check out on WKAR.org right now. You can check out the visual of this story. Right now, we're going to play the audio for you. And it's a very interesting topic that deals with high school athletes who just play one sport. specializing in one sport, if you will. And whether or not specialization is what they call it in high school athletics, whether or not specialization is healthy for a high school athlete. Check out Brett's story, because I think this is very interesting. Check it out.
Sports have come a long way from being a simple extracurricular activity, with travel teams and off-season training programs aiming for kids at a younger and younger age.
It's become a bigger industry than ever before, and you've got more people trying to capitalize that and get into parents' pocketbooks.
John Johnson is the communications director for the Michigan High School Athletic Association, which has been outspoken against the idea of teenagers specializing in just one sport.
I mean, it used to be that, hey, we played on the Little League team growing up, and maybe we got to play in the district tournament, and that was kind of fun. But now the Little League team has become passe because it only plays two nights a week.
Johnson and the MHSAA see the trend starting at a very young age, when many parents go above and beyond to make sure their child succeeds.
And you've got parents with a mindset that if you don't do this when they're 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11, they'll never make the high school varsity.
Haslett High School has many student athletes who play multiple sports, and the basketball team is a perfect example.
My favorite thing to do is play sports, so I just want to always play sports whenever I have the opportunity.
Jake Dehaney is a starter on the basketball team and is also well known as the quarterback of the football team.
Playing multiple sports, it like works all sorts of different muscles in your body. Instead of focusing on one sport, like it doesn't focus on all the muscles that are in your body. And it's also like cool to see other athletes in different sports, like their experiences and stuff. And it's also a good way just to keep yourself busy.
However, the star of the basketball team, Brandon Allen, previously played football but decided to spend his senior year focused on his favorite sport, basketball.
I think it for sure has, you know, so I'm a lot stronger now because of it. I think my shots improved a lot.
Be sitting right there, you take it, we're going to come back the other way.
However, despite improvements, many high school coaches, such as Haslett basketball coach Chris Smith, believe playing multiple sports is best.
I've always had the opinion that the more sports kids can play in high school, the better off they are. They only get one go-around at this, and so I'd prefer kids playing multiple sports.
You've got coaches out there that said, hey, I want kids who have different skill sets that can only be developed by playing two and three sports.
And it's not just at the high school level. Many college coaches feel the same way.
I talked to several college coaches that recruit basketball kids, and they're always asking me what other sports they play. So I think that's something they're looking for as well. They like kids that are good athletes, and good athletes can play multiple sports.
Besides just the athletic aspect, Johnson believes players like Tahaney will be better off as a person in the long run.
Play around different groups of kids. Play around different coaching styles. Learn from all of it. Learn how to be the star in one sport and the support player in the other. You'll end up as a more well-rounded person.
For WKAR Current Sports, I'm Brett Cast.
Thank you so much, Brett. And again, you can check out the visual of that story by simply visiting WKAR.org. But this is a very intriguing topic, because when I watched this story and when Brett presented this story for our airwaves, you know, I kind of had a flashback to my own high school basketball career. I played basketball and went to high school at Annapolis High School out in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Pretty good baller, not to toot my own horn, but I had scholarships to go to Adrian, Saginaw Valley, and Grand Valley to play ball. Turned them down, though, because I was a cocky kid coming out of high school. Those are not Division I programs. The NBA isn't looking at Grand Valley or Saginaw Valley, and for sure not Adrian, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go to Michigan State and pursue journalism. It turned out to be the right choice, right? But I remember when I was in high school and when I was playing ball, shout out to Coach Yoches there, Annapolis High School Cougars, he wanted me to just focus on basketball and no other sport. Didn't want me to risk getting injured by playing, you know, football or playing just any other extracurricular activity other than hoops. He wanted me to just focus on hoops. And it was something I did year round anyway. I mean, I loved hoops. If we weren't in season, we were doing stuff in the off season when it came to weight training, when it came to watching film, when it came to going out and playing at different camps. When it came to running scrimmages against other schools in the offseason, when it came to impromptu practices, it was just, basketball was everything. I didn't play anything else. Now, looking back at it, it's something I look back on and say, you know, when I was in high school, if I could, I would have fought my coach on that, because I look back and say, you know what? I wish I would have played baseball. I really do wish I would have played baseball. I think I would have been a solid baseball player. It's something I always wanted to try. I'm a big golf guy now. It's something I play, you know, in my downtime during the summertime a lot, just about every single week. Who knows? I would have loved to play, you know, golf back in high school. I mean, especially when you're on a golf team in high school, I mean, you're pretty much playing golf for free. I mean, now you have to, you know, shell out a lot of money to go out there on these courses. But, you know, I look back and say, man, just what if I played something else? But I do understand both sides, though, you know, to it, Isaac, because I look at some of these kids, you know, like a Brandon Allen, you know, for instance. He was highlighted throughout that piece. Brandon Allen is a guy who I think legitimately has a shot of playing college basketball somewhere, whether it be a D2 school, just somewhere at the next level. So you have this other argument like, okay, if you know you have a solidified future in a sport, why not focus on that craft, hone it, and try to hit a ceiling? Try to become as best as you can at that one sport, where just for the average high school athlete out there that realistically may not be playing college sports anywhere. I mean, if you're just playing for fun, something to do, keep you out of trouble, keep you involved with school, you know, why not play a multitude of sports throughout the entire year? So I do understand. I do understand the kids who just specialize and hone in on one sport, because a lot of those kids have a future at that particular sport. But I also see the benefits, even the benefits of it. You know, the benefits of a kid playing multiple sports. As John Johnson mentioned, I mean, you know, you may be a beast at football, but then when you play baseball, you may be batting last in the lineup. You know, from a life perspective, that can do a lot to shape who you are and to keep the ego in check, to be honest. There are benefits in both of these regards. So, Isaac, I got to ask you, my man, when looking at this story, what do you think about specialization?
Yeah, Al, I played multiple sports throughout high school. I played track and basketball, and that was something that was relatively encouraged in my school. But at the same time, you were punished in each sport because you chose to play another one. Seasons conflict and they, you know, they intermingle. They have the same time period pretty much which you play them in. So it's something that it makes sense to specialize in on one sport, I think, once you get to a competitive level, because at that level you're trying to really compete against the best, you're trying to show out for what you got, all of that stuff. But until you hit that point, I think it makes sense to dabble in all sorts of sports, because like Brett said, Brett's piece, you know, mentioned that playing different sports, you get so many more aspects of information that you can glean from those games. So football, for example, if you play quarterback, I played quarterback my eighth grade year in elementary school or middle school. So that was something where I really learned a lot about leading a team, getting a little bit of confidence, things like that. Basketball, I was more of a bench warmer in high school. I was, you know, coming off the pine. So that's something, too, where you learn to support your team, because I never played that role when I was in elementary school. So it's something where I do think it makes sense to dabble in all sports of different realms. But at the same time, once I think you do get to the competitive level, like guys like Brandon Johns, things like
if
that.
If you have a future in it. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
If you
clearly have a future in it, then yes, certainly. I mean, you want to become the best, you know, that you can at that sport. It heightens your draft stock. You could turn the heads of other scouts out there at particular schools. You may want to take those talents too. So I get it if a kid is just a monster, a clear monster at one particular sport. But for the average kid, yeah, why not play multiple sports then?
Exactly. And then the other thing is playing other sports can increase your talents in that game. You look at LeBron James. What makes him so exceptional? It's his combination of strength and speed. He's a great basketball player and better athlete. So,
and he played football.
Exactly.
And he was one of the best football players coming out of high school during that time too. Yeah,
he was highly recruited. Gone to Ohio State possibly for that. So it's something that if he hadn't played that game in high school, who knows if he'd have the same combination of talents in the NBA that he does right now.
Folks, what do you think? Call in 517-355-9527. Just under 10 minutes left here in the show. You can also weigh in on this topic and more by going to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or you can tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. And right now, as we speak, other than Brett's story, again, I mentioned you can go to WKAR.org to check out that visual, because that's actually a visual piece that was very well suited for radio as well. But we also have three other stories, I should say four other stories, that have just been posted as of yesterday. Our own Jason Ruff is profiling the Michigan State Women's Club hockey team and their senior day. Very compelling story there. Also, Connor Hayes profiles the MSU club tennis team, and Connor Ryan profiling the Michigan State club basketball squad. That is pretty good in just its first year. I wish they had MSU club basketball when I was in college. I would have definitely tried out at least. All right, let's hear our second break. When we come back, we will talk about Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton, and continue to take your phone calls. Ray from Indiana, I know you're on, brother. We're going to get to you. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
BBC World Service.
You're listening to the newsroom.
This is Clip.
Welcome to Assignment.
Welcome to From Our Own Correspondent.
Hello and welcome to Global Business.
Welcome to Hard Talk.
Welcome to The Wife.
This is Science and Action.
Welcome to More or Less.
Welcome to Outlook.
It's time for Witness.
Hello and welcome along to The Arts Hour.
Great to have you on World Have Your Say.
Welcome to Sport Today.
BBC News.
The World Service from the BBC.
The BBC on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, we are taking your calls, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Skipper, you keep doubting my knowledge. I'll be 67 in August. You told me they're going to blow them out. They were down by 18. It was the other way around.
Right. I didn't doubt your knowledge, Ray. What I just said is, first off, and I admitted this when we started the show, I definitely underestimated how good Purdue is. But again, when you look at how things align during last night's game, when have we ever seen Rafael Davis go off the way he did last night? It was just one of those games. Purdue was hot from the three-point line, and that size was certainly a factor that frustrated the Spartans throughout that game. It was a fun game to watch, Ray.
Well, you know, you've already lost four games in the Big Ten. That's why I was going.
The Big Ten championship is gone now. I mean, there's
no way. I know
that
five losses. Especially when you play on the road, you can't go in there with an attitude like that.
Well, I don't think it was an attitude thing. I think that Michigan State played tough in that game. I just thought I thought that the X factor being Purdue's size was overwhelmingly the factor that caused Michigan State not to get an offensive groove, into an offensive groove. That size frustrated Michigan State. You can see it very early on. I mean, in the combination with that size, with the fact that Purdue is a very good defensive team that does not back down from you, they don't give you any room to shoot the basketball. I mean, it was just a good team going against a good team last night.
Well, what – you see, you were – going by the Michigan game, how they blew them out.
I was not thinking about that. First off, Michigan, they play – who plays Minnesota tonight, by the way. I want to remind that for folks. I think it's, 9 o'clock tip, I think it is, Isaac?
I think so, yeah.
Minnesota never beats Michigan anyway. Yeah, they'll lose.
I didn't say that Michigan State was going to beat Purdue based off what I saw in the Michigan game. I mean, Michigan isn't that great, if you ask me. I think they are a good team, but they're not a great team. The big thing last night was the size of Purdue, though, Ray.
You got to pound them inside. You got to pound them inside, Michigan. You got to pound them inside. They don't have any big men.
But you got to give a lot of props to Purdue, though. They were fantastic last night, Ray.
Hey, you get a chance, check that out. I want to find out the final vote, okay?
Oh, yeah, for Kurt Warner. Yes, we will get on that, Ray.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Ray. But, yeah, I mean, looking at it, I certainly underestimated Purdue. And I'm the first to admit that. I underestimated that team last night, Isaac, because I said Michigan State by at least 15 last night. And Michigan State was down at the most at by 18 last night. But that size, I mean, looking at A.J. Hammonds out there, he's what, like over 7 feet, I think?
Yep, 7'2".
He's like 7'2", 7'1", 7'2", something like that. I mean, looking at him against like Matt Costello, I mean, Matt had his hands full last night. Deontay Davis had his hands full last night. To put that in perspective, Schilling, Deontay Davis, and Matt Costello all had 4 fouls going into the final stanza in the overtime in that game. All had 4. And I think, what, 2 of them fouled out in that
Davis
overtime.
Yeah, Davis and Schilling fouled out.
Exactly. So that certainly, they couldn't handle Hammonds. Hammonds was a wreck all game. And it put a lot of pressure on Denzel because he didn't have another guy to say, you know what, you need to hit some shots because right now we're getting nothing from anybody else. So props to Purdue. Will they play like that the rest of the year? No, they won't. I mean, it was one of, and you know, there was added incentive for a guy like Rafael Davis because, you know, as we played at the very beginning of the show, Rafael Davis, he's never beaten Michigan State. I mean, he came out like a man possessed. But much props to him. Again, the Big Ten Championship, and I thought, not even looking at last night's game, I thought that Michigan State wasn't going to win the Big Ten Championship anyway, with their 4 losses, because you have a clear dominant team in the conference in Iowa and Maryland not too far behind, even though Michigan State has beaten Maryland so far this year. But a team with 4 losses was not going to win the Big Ten Championship, let alone 5. So at the end of the day, though, Michigan State will be fine. And I think tonight's game is going to be very intriguing from this standpoint alone, Isaac. Michigan is coming off a week in which they got blown out against Indiana and they got blown out against Michigan State. This is a team right now on the bubble. I do believe that. They can't lose to Minnesota. And there is word, and I also think this is a big game because there is word that Caris LeVert will return tonight against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He practiced with the team. He went through shoot-around. John Beilein said it will be a game-time decision. And in Caris' hands if he wants to return tonight.
Well, and this is a game that I think is perfect for the return of LeVert because, simply, Minnesota is bad.
They're a laughingstock
really
in the conference.
Bad.
Yeah,
so
right.
If when you consider that Caris LeVert comes back, he doesn't have to put too much weight on his shoulders or his knees or whatever's hurting him at the moment. And therefore, you can let the team kind of slowly progress into that groove that they had when they were without Caris LeVert, when they were playing so well, and you can slowly incorporate them into the team. You don't have to force anything. So this is a good game to bring them back, give them 10, 15 minutes, and let the team keep playing like they were.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Rutgers, Minnesota would certainly be the laughingstock of the Big Ten. Well, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Isaac, I do believe we have a Cam Newton bite, right? How long does that go? Do we have time to play that
45
right now?
Seconds. Up to you.
We don't. It's 158-47 right now. We're going to get to that tomorrow. I've been dying, itching to get to this Cam Newton conversation concerning his post-game presser. You know, he has made a response concerning and addressing the criticism that he has gotten based on, you know him walking out with, 3 minutes, into the post-game presser of the Super Bowl. We'll get to that. Also, I've been meaning to hit on Johnny Football, the Johnny Manziel situation. It's being said that that allegedly he hit his girlfriend and injured her eardrum. She can't hear out of one of her ears. Come on, Johnny Football. We'll be sure to get to that tomorrow. All right, you don't want to miss tomorrow's show, folks. Same time, same place. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have one fantastic afternoon, and be easy, people.